Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to part two of Power to Be You on Blog Talk Radio with Michelle Gentile's Treasure. And Michelle, thank you once again for coming back on and bringing you this half an hour of transcendental coaching to bring a distinction to a person's life experience to a whole new level. And you're on.
Thank you, Sandra. It's good to be back.
Well, good. I'm glad that you were able to actually come back on after our previous show. And what I'd like to take this half an hour to do is to bring your coaching through. As we had said before, your book, The Treasure, which is about discovering the gift of the human spirit, this book is just such a beautiful book, and it really taps into the whole essence of who we are as people and what drives us. And just, you know, when you speak of who we are and what we can do to change our life experience, I think that that's just such an important element to bring across to the audience. Yeah, and I know that you have also an exercise and you have a gift that you've brought with you. So that's what I would love for us to be able to do on you for this half an hour.
Okay, wonderful. So picking up from where we left off, I heard myself repeating a common theme, and that had to do with meaning and creating a vision for what you want. And there's a couple of ways of going about that. Some people just aren't sure about what it is that they do want. But usually we're pretty clear about what we don't want. And often we can capture that by listening to the tape that's playing in our head about what we don't like or we can't stand or something like that. So to create a vision for what you do want, you can, and if you're not sure what that is, and I do recommend that you start by focusing on how you want to feel and how you want to be, as opposed to what you want materially. You can do that as well, but, you know, there's lots of examples of when people win the lottery and they get, you know, everything of their dreams, but then they lose it all because they haven't created inside what it is, the experience that they're really looking for. So it's wonderful to have success, and that's fantastic. But if we haven't created that inner happiness, that success could be hollow. So I suggest you start with how you want to feel and how you want to be and creating your vision. And if you're not sure, you can start with listening to what it is that you're not liking and listing that. And then it's very simple. You go for the antonym, you go for the opposite, and make a list. And is it that you want to feel peaceful? Do you want to feel more content? Do you want to enjoy life more? I had one client who told me, I want to squeeze more juice out of life. Is it that you want to be able to create a career that's really meaningful to you and expresses who you are and have it balanced with the whole rest of your life? Do you want to build a great family and have harmony there and be providing memories for your children that will last a lifetime? What is it that you want? And I suggest you start with that vision. Also, knowing what you want and creating meaning is also about knowing yourself, knowing what you love. And there's a couple of, there's actually lots and lots of tools and techniques that I could talk about on the show. And Sandra, I ask you to kind of jump in and let me know if it's going on overload, because I can just keep going. So you'll let me know how you want me to pace this. Is that okay?
No, most definitely. And for me, I am definitely envisioning, you know, the essence of what you are saying. So, for example, what you just mentioned, that starting with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and starting with the end in mind of how you want to feel or who you want to be. And then after you've gotten that straight and you've started acquiring that and making those shifts in you, then the material to follow. That's what I suggest in terms of the sequence. The other things that are really important with creating what you want is really having some self-awareness. And this is so important. We spend a lot of time looking out. Our eyes point out. So we're looking at our environment. We're looking at our to-do list, and we're doing a lot of doing. But as far as what we really want and what satisfies us, I suggest we have to start to get in touch with our what's inside us. And one activity that's so simple, and it's a great gift to give yourself, is a daily check-in. And it's checking in on a couple of different things. It's, what am I feeling in my body? What am I feeling in my emotions? What am I thinking? What's in my environment? And becoming aware of those things. What's in you? How are you feeling? How is it making you feel? And do you need to change it? This daily check-in came from the Circle of Life coaching, group coaching process that I had taken by Rebecca McLean. And it is just such a simple and easy way of knowing where you're at and connecting and honoring and caring for yourself. So, for instance, if we think about our body, and you could do this right now, what am I feeling in my body right now? You know, you can check your breathing. Are you breathing deeply and in a relaxed way? Where are your shoulders? Are they up around your ears like you're wearing them like earrings, or are they relaxed? Do you feel any tension in your body? Basically, most people don't want to feel tense. They want to feel relaxed. They want to feel peaceful. By doing this check-in and seeing what your body is doing, you can take immediate steps to start feeling the way you want to feel by taking some nice deep breaths, shaking out any tension, and correcting your posture. It's a way of caring for yourself, and when you are well cared for, it's much easier to care for others. The other thing you could look at is your emotions. How am I feeling? Is there something bothering me? Am I angry about something? What is it? Something someone said? Is it something someone did or didn't do? How can I resolve this? If I'm angry, am I sad? What am I sad about? Am I just not sure? Am I anxious? What am I anxious about? These things all have solutions. If we're anxious, it's very often that we're kind of living in the future. If we make a plan, a good plan, so that whatever outcome we're concerned about, we optimize the chance for success, then we're channeling that energy into something positive. If it's thoughts we're having, negative thoughts, we can replace that. We can replace that and say, you know, we can question, is this really true what I'm telling myself? When we take in information from the outside world, we're very good at being critical listeners. Like, what? Is that possible? Is that true? But when we hear ourselves saying things in our own voice, we tend to just take it as gospel and we listen to it. But I suggest we, you know, we take a look at that and say, is this a helpful thought? And is it really true? Is part of it true? What part of it is true and what part might not be? So we can get to the truth of the matter and calm ourselves down. And when we're calmer, we can think clearer and make better plans to get where we want to go. If it's an emotional thing and it involves another person, do I need to speak with this person in order to resolve it? What's the best way to talk about this in a win-win? What is the way to talk about that where I'm just not letting them know how angry or upset I am and I'm dumping that emotion on someone else, but yet I am saying, this is how I'm feeling. I'm looking to have a great, you know, relationship with you, and I'd like to clear the air so that we both feel good. You know, setting it up for a win-win. All of these little bumps in our day have solutions, but if we're not aware of them, and we're letting things drain our energy and bog us down, we might not be making great choices, taking us where we want to go. We might be reacting to how we're feeling. And when we react,
you're talking to me.
No way.
You know what? It's beautiful because once these things are pointed out to you. You become aware that, oh my gosh, there are solutions and there are alternatives and there are choices. And they do become, you know, as human beings, we have to be willing to accept and take that responsibility to say, okay, here's a tool. I can apply it. And in applying it, I have to be willing to be a participant and experience what that tool is going to do to me. You know, and as I listen to you, it's like everything, this energy you know, it basically nudges you to saying, okay, you know, take action, move forward, don't go back. Because if you go back and you stay back, even though you know this is in front of you, where you can, where it's a tool that you can use to get yourself out from where you are, you know, you're not the only one who can take action. You're the only one that can change that experience for yourself.
That's absolutely right. The only way out of a mess is leadership, and the only one who can lead you really well to where you want to go is yourself. We can take support from others, we can take advice from others, we can look at the example of others, but ultimately we have to make those choices. And when you think about all the daily things that can add up to bog you down, if we're living a reactive existence, where we're draining our energy, so we're drinking more coffee, and we're drinking more coffee and we can't sleep at night, or we're having emotions that we're not facing, so we're going to eat to kind of, you know, get that carb calm, you know, and then we're creating extra weight and we really didn't want that, we start to create unintentional outcomes. And then it becomes a constant, like, reactive and having to deal with another thing that we've kind of created in our lives because we didn't say, okay, where am I at? Is this how I want to feel? Is this how I want to be? And to make a choice to improve it. Now, certainly, sometimes we can be in a circumstance that we just can't change. We're, you know, in a caregiver. We're in a rock and a hard place. Baby boomers my age, a lot of people are in that sandwich generation, and they have, a lot of caregiving responsibilities. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily a choice that we can say, sorry, I'm not going to take care of you. I need to take care of myself. But what we can do is make the choice to create a meaning and to create a value and to say, okay, I can't change this right now, and I am running on fumes. If not empty, I am just like on fumes, and I'm doing so much to take care of other people, and I'm the only one who can right now. But to create the value of but you know what, I choose to care for these people. Although it's hard and I'm on fumes, I choose, and in the future I can look back and feel so proud of myself for what I did. So if the present moment is hard, creating a meaning for the future helps get you through.
Okay. So you're on the right path.
Yeah, okay, great. So those are daily check-in activities to raise your self-awareness. Then, you know, that's helping you manage your everyday energies and, you know, help you with organizing your life and prioritizing. This, you know, helps with time management when you know what your priorities are, what your vision is. You know, things start to fall into place, and you may actually free up a little extra time because you're not, like, wasting time, like, going into downtime to recuperate from your day. Like I had said before, when I was in that, you know, that business and I was tired and I felt like I was overwhelmed, that was one stage of my life. But I can tell you, in this stage, I work way more hours than I did then with no fatigue because I'm doing something that I love. And knowing what you love is another thing that people struggle with. And I have the simplest activity to give you clues. And I learned this from a HumanNext course that I had gone to about emotional intelligence, and the activity is called Discovering Your Genius. I've done this with first graders. It's so simple and it's so easy. And all you need to do is have a piece of paper and a pencil and draw a line down the middle of it. On one side, you're going to put action words, your favorite verbs. And on the other side, you're going to put nouns, your favorite objects. And you're just going to list. First, you're going to list all your favorite action words. Is it skiing? Is it skating? Is it reading? Is it baking? Is it creating? Is it quilting? Is it scrapbooking? Is it running? Is it cycling? You list your favorites. And then on the other side, when you're done with that, you put the things that you like to have around you, objects that you tend to have around you or bring around you, and things that you like. So is it food? Is it books? Is it baked goods? That's two food items, so you see where I'm going with this. what is it? Is it cars? Is it buildings? Is it houses? What is it? Is it textiles? Is it clothing? And after you've listed all these things, you look at that list and you look at which words are really popping out for you. Which ones are just singing? Which ones are the ones that resonate? They're like, yeah, I really like that word. When I did this activity, I guess it will be to no one's amazement, my favorite word on the verb side was creating, and my favorite word on the noun side was books, creating books. It turns out, no surprise, that is one of my special treasures. I found that out at age, 45. Had I found that, done this exercise a little sooner, I might have been on a track where I was creating a business. Not that there was value in the other one too, but it would have, brought together, all of my interests in one place. The other one that came up for me was baking and cookies. And I did have, for a short time, I did have a cookie company, and it was a delightful experience. So by doing this and keying into what you really like, you can think in terms of either incorporating more of it, so you have that work-life balance, so your spirit is being nurtured, you're feeling authentic, you're feeling purposeful, and you have more energy.
So great.
Or
totally
you
it.
Can take it further into how can I create a business out of this? And with that, you need, in addition to the passion, you need a good plan. But, you can take it as far as you want to go. But for me, that's where the juice of life is knowing what you love and doing it to whatever extent fits into your life. And then lastly, it's my book, The Treasure, is also about discovering the treasures, not only in yourself, but in others around you. And I've read a lovely book, and it's called How Full Is Your Bucket? It's by Tom Rath and Donald Clifton. And it's based on positive psychology and what works. And it's 50 years of research that's gone into this. And what it talks about is the metaphor is a bucket, and a full bucket is a person who feels full and they can share with others. And every interaction we have with everyone, between your kid's bus driver or a teacher or the checkout person at the grocery store, can be an energy exchange where we're either dipping from our bucket or having our bucket filled. So either someone's filling our bucket or taking away, and we're doing the same. And those energy exchanges throughout the day really dictate or, create and have facilitate how you feel about your day. What were those interactions like? And what this book brings out is that when we fill our children's buckets by focusing on what their strengths, their treasures are, then we are making them much more able to weather the storms of life because their bucket is already full. And indeed, the author of this had that exact experience. And he also cited a study that was done. When given a report card, parents in all different countries were given this scenario. When given a report card that your child got an A in social studies, an A in English, a C in science, and an F in algebra, where does your focus go?
Immediately on the F. Oh, you got an F. Why did you get an F?
Yeah. 83%. It was across countries, of the world. Around 83% focused on that because we are in a weakness-focused culture. Third-party payers in health insurance, they pay for disease management. It's not wellness. It's not prevention. That's like our own responsibility to stay in there. We pay for things when they go wrong. We pay for experts to fix it as opposed to staying in the right, enhancing the right, and optimizing from early on. It's like we wait for something to go wrong and then want to pay someone else to fix it. So he didn't say that you don't focus on the F, but what you do, what he suggested and what his family did was that whatever was of interest to him, they enhanced that and they talked about that and they supported that. And then we don't feel bad about the F, but we find how to fix it. What's going wrong? Where's the obstacle? Where's the stumbling block and what can we do about it? But in truth, when you think about, you know, adults, we're really only really good at one or two things. And in school, we have all these subjects that tap multiple different types of intelligences. But our strength is in one kind of intelligence or two. And so when we focus on that and, you know, and use those to bring up the other areas as opposed to focusing on the negative, we're filling people's buckets. And they are much more able to fill others, to create better relationships of a more positive nature, and cope. Now, this gentleman in the story, Tom Rath, he ended up with a very severe illness, very rare illness, and he developed tumors at the age of 16 all over one of his eyes, and he lost his sight in that eye. And he knew that this was going to be something he'd be facing his whole life, but it did not devastate him, and it didn't become the focus of his life. He learned everything he could about it, and learned that a lot of these tumors were manageable by surgery. Some of them could become cancer, but again, with proper screening, you can catch it early and do surgery. So he was grateful. Okay, I have something, but I can manage it. Every 6 months, I'll go for a scan. If there's something, I'll deal with it. But in the meantime, I'm going to live. And this kind of goes back to the conversation we were having before our break about what do you do if you have a diagnosis. I would say look at some good models of people who have coped, and here's one. And what does it take to get to that place? And yes, indeed, he ended up with tumors throughout his organs. He did end up with cancer. He did do chemotherapy. But the quality of his life was not diminished by it, and his experience of life wasn't diminished by it. They were experiences in his life that he coped with because his bucket was full. And for Valentine's Day, what I suggest is that we give ourselves the gift of valuing ourselves, validating ourselves, and getting in touch with what it is we truly love so that we have our best self to give as a gift to others. We will love ourselves for it, and others will love us more because we are bringing our best self to them. When we take care of our own needs, we relieve others of the burden of having to take care of our needs. So we're giving them a gift. And if we're in a family, you have children, I suggest you do the same. Look for what the natural interests and the strengths are and capitalize on that so that you are filling your child's bucket.
That's beautiful. I don't even want to say anything because it's, you know, you have to feel it. It's what you just said is just so, such a, you know, I can't even, I'm often not at a loss for words. So, you know, that's a very strong thing that I have. But when, you know, the things that you said, because I know where it's coming from, and I know that to get to the state of not being able to share this insight, you know, requires you to have been through it, to have seen it, to have studied, to have, you know, been a witness to different, like you said, you know, modeling those people who were able to cope with a specific situation and were able to draw just strength and passion and purpose, which I think it's, you said it, you know, our society is so focused, we're weakness focused, and we are so, you know, we often tend to discredit what doesn't, you know, what doesn't appeal with our ability to look at the wrong side of things.
Yeah, and we found that by ameliorating or trying to rehab weaknesses, it doesn't guarantee success. There's less weakness, but it's been found that really the keys to success are strengths-driven. You know how, most of us know how difficult it is to, you know, how much effort is involved with a business and making a business work. And, you know, your own life is a business, and it requires a lot of effort. And to fuel that effort, you need the passion. That will be more a key of success, that you're capitalizing on your strengths because therein is your positive energy. And you need positive energy to make it through.
I would tell you, for me, it's so much that, I mean, every single day I tell myself. And last week I had an author, I had Mark Tomback with Spiriting Around, that is his book, and he spoke about God and spirit, and he spoke of, you know, tapping into that awareness that here, you know, our whole purpose is to just be able to use that and to be able to recognize that we have so much within us to be able to be at a place where we are empowered and we're able to really manifest the life experience that suits our nature and what we want out of life. And, you know, it really, really brought to mind how often people, you know, it's like we let go of something that's inherently ours. Now, in these tools, the tools that you've brought, that you've shared, the gifts that you just have given to us, these are actual tools that any of us can use to really start on a journey toward self-discovery and toward just really claiming that version, that better version of who we truly are.
Oh, yeah. And what's better than that? I mean, what's better than a great life experience? And we have that power. We have that power in us to create that. And, it couldn't be any better.
Thank you. You know what? You just brought to mind I have something that was given to me as a gift when I was in Europe last year, and it's a poem. I really don't know how old it is, but it looks like it's quite aged, but it's entitled Children Learn What They Live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I took it and I thought that it was so right, because our whole purpose really is to not only help ourselves, but really help that next, our future. Help the children who are dependent upon what you and I believe. You know, they, in essence, they truly are dependent upon what each individual adult that surrounds them is and says and does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I want you, and we have actually 2 minutes. There was something that you shared that's just so beautiful for people who now have kids and children. Can you just share the plan and how you've been able to help your children understand money and understand how their life in this way?
Okay, sure. This came out of the conversation that you had with your guest Joaquim de Posada with Tony the Marshmallow, and you know, when it comes to money, when as a business owner, you know, we had to adjust to the fact that we had money coming in that didn't have taxes taken out. So if you look at the total amount and think, oh, wow, this is what I have, this is what I have to spend, not so much. It's really, we go by half. Because if you're in a 30% tax bracket, then 30% is going to go to taxes to support our country, because it gives us a beautiful place to live. And besides, I'm always so impressed that we have Hawaii. It just blows my mind that we have that beautiful state, and I want to visit it someday. So I feel like, you know what? I got to support this country because we have Hawaii and Puerto Rico. I'm also, I understand that it belongs to our country, although it's not a state. It's just, you know, we have some great things here and great resources in this country. So, you know, taxes are to support that. And then there's 10% that we need to put away for our future to feather our nest so that we have a comfortable future. And then 10% for charity. And those are just the arbitrary, easy ways of, you know, coming up with guidelines for my kids. So whatever my kids make, in terms of whatever jobs they do and their allowances, I tell them that they get half. And what I'm doing is I'm putting the other half away for their future. And, you know, of course, they're not paying taxes at, you know, 8 years old and 13. I put it so that they get used to the fact that they need to earn like double what it is that they need. And then they have to budget everything accordingly. The other thing is, you know, my concern was that my children were going to become just like consumers because they're constantly bombarded with the latest.
Talk radio.
We can continue.
Okay, they're constantly bombarded with the latest gadget and toy, and you know, on the TV commercials, and you know, and amongst themselves, it's kind of a very consumer mentality, and they need the latest, greatest thing. And so, and now with the computer, they can do online shopping all the time. So to prevent all that shopping and that consumer, because I don't know that that really builds a marketable skill for their future unless they're going to be buyers somewhere, which I don't see either one of them, that being their passion. I limit it to one time a month they can make a purchase based on half of what they've earned. And if they want something badly that's, you know, a bigger item, then they need to ask, how can I help you? You know, what can I do so that I can earn money for what I want? And it's teaching them to, like, how do I serve? Think of themselves in terms of what skills can I bring and what skills do I need to develop so that I can, you know, make the money I need for the things that I want.
So it's, in essence, you give them out of whatever they're supposed to have, you give them 50% because the other 50 you store.
Right.
And
then, I'm going to put in a mutual funds for them.
Okay. And then out of that, you take 10% that they will give to charity?
Well, it's 50% they get for spending. So the other 50% is I'm just taking it. So part of it is going towards their savings, right? And like the tax part and the future part, like the 40%, and the other 10%, we have events in our community like Stuff a Bus where we go and buy, canned goods and stuff, and you stuff a bus. An actual school bus gets stuffed, and when the bus is full, it gets driven to like the food pantry and stuff like that. So that part of their, you know, money is being used for that kind of thing. So they get 50% of what they've earned to spend, and so they don't, you know, think in terms of, you know, constantly spending and spending everything they earn.
And in that 50%, they're able to spend on the shopping a half of that.
They can, whatever they earn, if it, you know, say if it's $10, they get five. And they are free to spend that one time a month. So it's not constant consumer mentality. One time a month they can, you know, accrue their money. And then any birthday gifts, this is just what we do in our family, you know, birthday gifts and money and gift cards, you know, that's theirs free and clear to use. But earnings, because it really mimics what we do in real life. As adults, you know, it's kind of preparing them for that adult role as a money manager.
And that's why I think it's just so valuable to have this, because if you said it before in the call, if you knew what you knew now or what you realized at 45, you wouldn't have had this life experience.
Yeah.
But for us, we are in the position right now to be able to be teaching these kids the things that we did not know. And if we ourselves don't know it, or we're not effective money managers, for me, this speaks to my heart because, you know, I even said it to my son. I said, tomorrow I am getting the clue. Not tomorrow, I had to say, Michelle, please give it and let it be recorded. Time and time again. So this goes down in history, and I think it's just awesome. I think it's great, and it really is inspiring, and it's very feasible, and like I said, it's easy to understand, and I know that you come with a lot of, tried and error and success behind it because of your children definitely can tell you their own stories with how this formula has applied in their lives.
Oh, yeah. I'm always curious. You know, we always say, we're not going to know how we did till they go on Oprah, you know, when she had that old format where people would tell about their lives. You just hope and, you know, hope you're doing the right thing with your kids. But I think also teaching them body, mind, spirit wellness is vital. And, you know, the financial part and stress management and teaching them all of these things from a young age. And you can definitely teach them. You just use whatever situation they're in, the example of it, and teach and model wellness for each one of those areas. And they will become that because that's what they've learned.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much because this has been such a beautiful call. It's been an extended call, but I really appreciate the fact that you came back and that we were able to get this out. And we're calling it the pre-Valentine's gift, but this is a gift for life.
Mm,
and
right.
It's a gift that definitely comes from someone who has the gift and who has the power within themselves. And this is you. So I thank you again, and I just look forward to what the future holds for us.
Thank you, Sandra.
Okay, Michelle, so we will be talking very soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And in Power to Be You, again, this was Michelle Gentile with The Treasure, and the website is www.thetreasure.mobi, M-O-B-I. You have the power to be you. Choose meaning, choose life, make your experience real. More power to be you.